fasten your championship belts, because this podcast is unprofessional. Welcome to your weekly home for wrestling reviews, discussion, predictions, and more. This is Unprofessional Wrestling. Here are your hosts, Schwartz, George, and Travis.
Cody caught it! Rhodes middle of the ring! Crossroads! Cody's not done yet! Cody with another crossroads! Is he gonna do it? Can he do it? Is this the Rhodes moment? Come on, Cody! Crossroads! Cover! Finished!
Ah, the story is finished. Well, I guess not the whole thing. I hope there's a lot more to this story. We're starting the show with Regal over here in frame. Hello, Regal. Now he's trying to get behind George for some reason.
Dog toy.
Oh yeah, his toy basket is behind you. Thanks, everybody, for watching Unprofessional Wrestling. My name is Travis, over here is George, and right here in the middle we got Schwartz. Oh, what a weekend it was. You were both here in this very room watching WrestleMania, doing live pre-shows on the YouTubes for everybody out there. Now we got Cheeto. Everybody is just joining the show today. Goodness gracious.
What's up, Cheeto?
Yeah, here we are. This is what it's like to live with animals. Just show them your ass, Cheeto.
Love cat butts.
Yeah.
Love cat
butts.
That's
what I want to stare at. Jesus Christ.
All right. Well, goodness gracious. Hello, everybody in the comments. Timeless Tilly. Hello, sir. Undertaker and Seven. Hello. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. We got CJ. We got Cole. Thanks, everybody. We appreciate you. Coming off of a very strong weekend of... I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you guys find this to be one of the best WrestleManias? Or, better question, do either of you think this was the best WrestleMania ever?
Honestly, I think it is the best WrestleMania.
Why do you think that?
Every match, well, minus a couple, were just amazing. And so many titles change hands. And just, I'm happy that the tag team titles finally got split.
Sure.
And, you know, Cody got to finish his story.
Uh-huh.
Shorts?
I think going off of his, I think it was probably one of the best ones, like, ever. Besides maybe, like, you know, when Stone Cold and The Rock and Triple H were, you know, in theirs, you know, in the, what is it, 17, 18, and 19. But I think this one was up there with one of the top ones, just because all these title reigns were long,
mm-hmm.
and it was, you know, I wouldn't say it was dry, but the, you know, it just chef's kiss to just pass those titles on. They did their jobs and, you know, they told a great story following it all the way up to this one.
Yeah. This is definitely one of the best ones that I can remember watching in quite a long time. Tilly says I'd give Mania an A. I don't disagree. I'm on the bottom end of A just because there were a couple matches for me that fell flat a little bit. The Usos, the six women tag was a little, I think that could have been stronger. I was annoyed that, the baby faces didn't get their own entrances for that.
You've been pissed.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, come on, it's Jade's first Mania. It's her, obviously like her big, like showing finally, and she didn't even get her own entrance. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, just but I mean, my nitpicks are minor, like all things considered, and how many matches there were and how many stories we were dealing with. What a Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong. CJ said outside of like four matches I loved this weekend, feel free to tell me about the matches you didn't like or anybody out there. If there were any matches you didn't particularly care for and why, I'm curious to hear your guys' thoughts. As far as our Universal Championship match, I'm a little unclear if it's still the Universal Championship or not.
It's WWE Championship.
That's what they've been saying, but also I believe they said they said Universal on Raw, so I'm a little confused on what we should be calling it right now.
Oh, I think that they are just kind of forgetting, or they're not getting to the memo, like getting the memo right away.
Mm-hmm.
I bet by like in like a week or two, it's just going to be fully the WWE title.
How's that going to work with the belt though, where it says Universal on
the
bottom?
They're going to change it.
They will silently sell it.
They'll either just change it, or Cody will debut a new belt design.
That would be wild if you just got that belt.
I mean, he was talking on the Pat McAfee show about how much he'd love to have the Winged Eagle back, and I mean, obviously they won't bring back like the Winged Eagle belt, but like a variation of it, that'd be cool. I mean,
that would be sweet.
Yeah, why not?
I think a lot of people were trying to figure out like what they could do with a modern version of it, with also that still that Winged Eagle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor says the 6-man match on Sunday was not good, but Snoop made me laugh so hard it saved it. Kind of like Snoop sort of saved that segment with Shane McMahon last year a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, with guidance, but he did. You can't deny that. CJ, the Usos match was awful. 6 women tag was all right. Both main events were so... He said the main events were so meh. What do you mean they were so meh? They were the most entertaining matches of the whole weekend. Both of them were, I thought.
Jay knows how to push your buttons.
God, man. I hate him. Lots of stalling, and Roman and Cody really didn't do much the second night match. I mean, they had a great match. What more do you want?
I can agree there was a lot of stalling, but I think they did a really good job.
But they let things breathe, you know? Like, yeah. Nothing felt rushed. Nothing felt out of place. I think everything was what it should have been for that match.
Did you guys notice that Roman was doing moves that he didn't normally do?
Like what?
Like...
Crossroads?
That. And then,
that move sucks. Why does anybody use it?
I can't remember what it's called, but there's a couple. I'll get back to you on that.
All right. Yeah, I didn't notice. I thought that was a great way to end Roman's reign. See what I did there?
I see what you did there.
Yeah, thanks. I loved it. I mean, the story was there. The story's been built over the course of a couple of years. Cody's story has obviously started his story with Roman last year at Rumble, lost. Him and Roman didn't really touch at all. Won Rumble again this year to run it back again, gave the main event to Rock and decided, no, I want it back because Rock convinced me that it should be him, and now I disagree after thinking about it more, blah, blah, blah. CJ says, first night had a lot of stalling, second night was good because of the Avengers part. LOL.
Liked it.
I like pacing, but geez, like 20 minutes of staring and why? That's not what happened. What are you watching? That's not what happened.
He knows how to push your fucking buttons.
The entrances for Cody and Roman I thought were awesome. Cody had the skull mask and the whole, like, everything's on fire and my flags are flying before his music hits. Brandy's there. I thought that was great. Roman coming out with the whole orchestra. I mean, they made this match feel like it was big, and it totally lived up to it, I thought. Tilly says, I wish KO could have won the U.S. title. Sammy and Kate. Yeah, but they're not going to take the U.S. title off of Logan Paul before they do SummerSlam in his hometown. He's 100% going to have that title going into SummerSlam. There's no way that's not going to happen. So, anything else as in terms of Roman Cody? Any thoughts on where everything ended up and where we're at now?
I thought it was pretty good. The night one main event, that was pretty damn good. Rock just calling all the shots, like, hey, you count to 10, your ass is fired.
That was great.
George, I think it was just good to see that you basically called out what was going to happen on night two.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, I liked it.
Everybody heard it first.
I liked it. Yeah, goodness gracious. I don't know. We got more out of The Rock in that match than I honestly thought we were going to.
I thought it was
going
to be more of a Roman versus Seth and Cody, but wow, The Rock put on one hell of a show.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he said he's working his ass off to get the conditioning. He had rings set up in multiple places where he lives or works or whatever the case may be. And he did great. And I'm excited to see more of him when he comes back. And I was always on the bandwagon of, we don't need The Rock. Like, what's going on? But, man, it's hard to say that he shouldn't be there now.
Yeah, and it's tough that he's leaving.
He'll be all right. Well,
I don't know, it's like 4 months.
I think it was, what, before SummerSlam?
I want to say it was till like August or something.
I thought it was like May to August.
Yeah, that was my impression. As far as WrestleMania as a whole goes, anything else on, I guess, Mania we can go back to? Anything we wanted to mention?
Anything on Mania?
Well, just Mania in general. Anything Mania.
I mean, CM Punk is fucking ruthless.
I was going to say, I feel really bad for Drew.
Don't feel bad for Drew.
That's what happens when you are on your phone while you're at work.
I mean, yeah.
You get repercussions.
Yeah, how hilarious was that? Drew's beaten away at Seth. He takes his phone from his wife and sends out a tweet that says, "Bored at work, LOL." And then after the match and everything is over, sends another tweet that just says, "Fuck."
Fuck.
Like, great, yeah.
Oh, so good. I just hope
that wasn't like a split. I hope that wasn't like a split like decision, kind of like split time, or like a really close decision like right before the match, where they were like, yeah, Damian's going to cash in.
It was reported that this has been planned for 6 months.
Whew.
Okay.
For Damian to do this at Mania. I don't know if that's true or not, just something I read.
I just don't know why. I wonder why Drew's brother got so pissed off then.
Because he's playing along with it, man.
I don't know. I'm still feel bad.
Hey, he still won the title at Mania, technically.
5 minutes.
Not even.
That's got to be the quickest someone's ever had that belt.
God, that was so great that Drew's obsession with Punk arguably cost him the title that he just won. Mm-hmm. And that's been his problem. He's been too obsessed with this idea of fighting Punk. And he's there kneeling on the announce table like, "I won the title, blah, blah, blah." And then the brace comes off Punk's arm and Punk smashes him in the face with it. And lo and behold, here comes Damian Priest. Delivers a South of Heaven, 1, 2, 3. And there's that.
The biggest South of Heaven I think he's ever done.
Damian said that too in an interview, or I think he was like reacting to the video or something.
Drew went sky high.
Yeah.
CJ says they need to move the Hall of Fame back the way it used to be. I agree, because the way they have it set up now, the Hall of Fame doesn't start until 9:30 Central. Probably didn't get done until close to midnight. And for some reason, I cannot figure out or make sense of, they started it with Paul Heyman. I don't know if it's because they were nervous that people weren't going to stay in the building the whole time to watch his induction, which I could make sense because it's late. It's on the East Coast. But, man, I don't know. I wish they would go back to doing it how they did it before. I want to say it was like Thursday night or something that they do it before, and they do it in the arena.
I thought it was Saturdays.
No, it was never. Well, yes, but that's before Mania started to be 2 days too. But I'd like to see them do it not the way that they have been doing it, where they use the ring and all that stuff. I don't know. It feels more special when it's its own thing, I guess. Tilly says, can CM Punk stay well long enough to have a match against Drew? I think so. I mean, he did it in AEW. I mean, he had great matches in AEW. And his one injury that he had was a result of him being stupid and trying to crowd surf, and he smacked his foot on the bike rack.
Yeah.
So I think it's possible. You know, it just depends on, I guess, the training and everything that goes into it to, you know, that kind of thing goes a long way to not getting injured. CJ says it's too late. Also, maybe it's just me, but two inductions that ended up being all about The Rock was kind of dumb. I get where you're coming from. However, Rock inducting his grandmother, I think, was good, and I think she deserves to be in it. And who else would you have do that, honestly, besides him? And then Rock's mom got to stand in for her during Mania. Yeah, I don't know. That's all I can say about Hall of Fame. All right. We got a few things that we're going to get into here news-wise, so why don't we do that? So, first bit here. AEW backstage footage. How do we not start with this? Okay, so I should ask, did both of you see this, first of all?
I did.
I don't know if I watched the entire segment or I watched just a snippet, but I saw the backstage incident.
Okay,
yes.
So, of course, last week, AEW, was it last week or earlier this week? Whatever. Either way, they said that they were going to air footage from unaired footage from the incident that happened at All in London last year. It was last spring, I believe, like June or July is when it happened. And basically, it's being introduced by the Young Bucks. Young Bucks are talking about how they lost their match against FTR in London because they were distracted by something. So they're like, oh, here's what we were distracted by. And then they show the footage. And what happens in the footage is exactly what CM Punk said happened when he was interviewed by Ariel Helwani last week on MMA Hour leading up to Mania. And then afterwards, FTR comes out to the ring, and they're like, why are we showing this? And blah, blah, blah. And it was clear that it's just being used as a storyline. FTR is not actually upset about it. There have been reports, I don't know anything for fact, but there were reports earlier in the day that said FTR and Young Bucks were not cool with this, but it's what Tony wanted to do. Most recent reports have said otherwise, that everybody was cool with it, and that's where it's at. Excuse me, and that's where it's at. So, what did you guys think of this?
I said it in the group chat earlier. CM Punk is a dangerous man.
Oh my God, no, that's not the takeaway. What do you actually think?
I feel like it's got to be like one extreme or the other. Like, whether you hate Punk, you know, because of the situation, or you're just like, that was the dumbest thing in the world.
That's what I think. It was the dumbest fucking thing in the show. I don't know if that's just like, if that's their way of taking a shot at CM Punk somehow, stupid.
So, do you think there's any retaliation? Like, any, like, not like blatantly WWE does something like to blatantly like do something to someone else there? But do you think that it's just like now there's going to be a lot of like, you know, little jabs?
No, I think WWE is above this.
Yeah,
they're not worried. I don't think they're worried about AEW, and obviously they have no reason to be. So just let them do what they're going to do. And it is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense to last week open up Dynamite with Adam Copeland coming out being like, hey, we need to focus on wrestling and do our thing and blah, blah, blah. And it was this whole rah-rah speech about how tribalism needs to end. And then AEW does this. What the fuck was this supposed to accomplish? Here's what it did. It proved CM Punk right. So if they were hoping they were going to expose Punk somehow because of this, guess what? It didn't work because he already laid this all out, and exactly what he said was going to happen or what did happen is exactly what was shown. I don't know. The only person that came out looking good in this is CM Punk, honestly, because this didn't do anything for anybody in AEW to help them. They're using this footage to promote a match, and none of the people in this footage are a part of that story or match between the Young Bucks and FTR. I don't understand. This was very petty.
Yeah,
it wasn't thought out. If it's supposed to be a ratings grab, great. You got people to watch for 5 minutes. Now what? Guess what? Now they're not going to come back next week because of how stupid this was. They're going to be like, why would I watch this shit? I don't know.
There'll be something else. Just watch.
It gave me like when WCW did the whole thing with Mankind when they leaked.
Exactly.
When Mankind, huh?
Exactly.
It was like, oh, let's see if we can catch him in something, and let's leak this video just like they did with Mankind winning the title.
Mm-hmm.
It just hurt him.
Yeah, there were the top two hashtags last night, if I'm not mistaken. One was CM Punk, the other was hashtag WCW 2000. yeah, and I mean, Colton makes a good point. Shivani's look said it all. I don't know if you noticed, but after the footage aired, you could see Tony. He was like this on the announce table. Just bad.
Maybe I'll go back and watch that.
You should. I'll admit, I turned on Dynamite last night until they went through this. Pentagon and Copeland did have a good match to start off. And then I was just kind of doing other things and had it on in the background. And then once this came along, of course, I paid attention. And I just, I was like, either this is going to be a swerve or they're actually going to show it. I decided that the latter was going to be the worst of the two, because if they swerved, then they could spin it as, oh, the Young Bucks are being heels, like they were advertising this to lie to people and they're heels and whatever. Okay. That would have been better than what they ended up doing and actually airing it and just making themselves look incompetent and stupid.
But I mean, they tweeted out saying that this isn't going to be a bait and switch situation like some people think it was going to be.
Yeah, and it wasn't, but that would have been better, I think.
It honestly would have. It would have saved everything. You got people watching for most of it, you know, going, "Hey, when are we gonna see the aired footage?"
Yeah, and Tilly, exactly. A swerve would have been better. That's what I'm saying. Than actually following through with this. Neither was a good option, but it would have been the lesser of the two evils. Punk responded in an Instagram story. It was a picture of George W. Bush standing in front of a podium with the Mission Accomplished banner behind him. That was great. Several people in and outside of WWE also posted memes or GIFs or whatever, basically just to show how silly they thought the whole thing was. So that's that situation.
I think it was a lose situation for AEW on that one.
Yeah, and not to mention in the same show, Will Ospreay coming out and taking a shot at Triple H.
Yeah, what was that about?
It's like, read the room, that dude. Triple H on Pat McAfee's show said something about how they don't want people in WWE who are going to take a job just for lesser dates or whatever. Like, he wants people that are going to grind. And supposedly that's what that it was in response to. But Triple H wasn't singling anybody out. And when I listened to him, I wasn't like, I could be like, oh yeah, he was probably referring to people in AEW or whatever, but he didn't name any names. He didn't name any companies. And I don't think he like very heavily like leaned on the fact that it refers to a particular company or person. And Renee's reaction, she made a face when Ospreay was saying that as well.
Yeah, because he did the actual humping. If he wouldn't have just like... Yeah, because he did like... did you hear it, George?
No.
He said Triple H basically wouldn't know like a grind because he basically was... what did he say? He's grinding on the boss's daughter and then doing humping motions in the interview with Renee.
Gotcha.
I don't know. Tilly thinks it's obvious he was talking about Ospreay. I don't think it was. I mean, it could have referred to a lot of people in AEW. It could have referred to Ospreay or Mercedes or Cheeto's back. Boy, he loves you today. Or Okada. I mean, I don't know. And it's like, I don't think there's anything wrong with what Triple H said. Like, if they're looking for people that want to do that grind, great, that's what they want. That's what they see as being successful in their company, and there's nothing wrong with what he said, honestly. So that was just another unhinged response at something that people aren't going to look at you any better for.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're moving on from that now. We're gonna.
Yeah, I think we got everything out.
All right. Uncle Howdy possibly teased on Raw. Maybe not Uncle Howdy, but certainly something. There were videos online that showed kind of a cryptic video, not video, right before the announcers' entrances on Raw this week. There was video shown from the arena from fans that showed basically a black screen. The lights went out, and there's this kind of old-time eerie song playing, and that lasted probably less than 10 seconds, and the lights came back on, and Michael Cole's music hits. To go along with that, during Bronson Reed's vignette with his Andre the Giant trophy, there is a static that popped up on the screen that said hello. And today, there is a tweet sent from the WWE account that said hello, 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 hello.
Like 100 times.
And it was deleted shortly after. They're teasing something. I don't know if it's Uncle Howdy. I think in any case, it's probably related to Taylor Rotunda / Bo Dallas / Uncle Howdy.
Alexa Bliss.
Did you? That's possible. I bet she's probably.
That's a possibility.
They said that she was working out again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's been training.
Which our new addition.
Oh yeah, did we ever say that about that at all?
I don't know.
I thought I did on Sunday.
Oh, we did.
Now we can, you know.
We did.
It's still good to point
we said
it out.
Crackhead of a crackhead.
Yeah, crackhead of a crackhead. for context, that anybody didn't catch the live preview show on Sunday. A buddy of ours that came over for Saturday brought these two signed Alexa Bliss and Ronda Rousey 8x10 photos on plaques for no reason. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to do anything with these. I got these from somebody that knows a crackhead that knows another crackhead, and that's where these came from. I'm like, cool, are there fentanyl in these? I don't know. So anyways, we have them, and it's kind of cool. I looked up the signatures. They look legit, so I'm for it. The Alexa Bliss one has a certificate of authenticity. I don't know. Maybe at some point, I don't know, maybe we'll give them away or something. I don't know. Do if anybody would have interest in them.
A giveaway. We'll do a drawing.
And we've never done a giveaway. It'd be fun. Yeah, so do we want to see Uncle Howdy? Do we want to see him come back as another character? What would you guys like to see out of these teases that are being made that are likely alluding to him?
I wouldn't mind the Uncle Howdy just because we saw so little of him in the time that him and Bray were together.
We teased him a lot, though.
Yeah. It'd still be nice, you know, just.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys heard any of his vignettes or any? I don't know if they're even putting them on TV because I was like, I don't know if they're putting them on NXT or what, but there have been some vignettes with Taylor, let's say Bo Dallas. He just talks in the way that Bray talks. I don't even know. It's like talks in riddles, essentially. And it sounded like, maybe I'll send it to you guys later, but it in one of them, it's basically saying like it triggered something in his mind to get to Uncle Howdy, and Uncle Howdy is just like a figment of his imagination.
When was this? Like,
I think I heard it about a month ago. I'll look it up and I'll send it to you guys. But it was like he went into some stuff where it was like he's talking like Bray, like something opened the door for Uncle Howdy, and he uses Uncle Howdy as like to help him cope with stuff, and then you know he's got other things going on, essentially pulling a Bray Wyatt.
I mean, the one thing that makes me think it's probably definitely him is because of that figure of Uncle Howdy that showed up behind the lamp. Or the lantern that was relit at the very tail end of the Bray Wyatt documentary after the credits rolled. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what they do with it, how long they're going to tease it, and all that jazz. I don't remember who this was reported by. I forgot to write it down. Stages changing for Raw and SmackDown to supposedly be very similar to what they have been in Philadelphia in the last week. Smaller scale, sell more seats.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense, but man, I love a stage. I'm not wild about like just one big giant screen, you know. But I love big production.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very torn on this one because I think it is cool sometimes to have the smaller stage to change it up. So I would maybe like to see them do it occasionally, but not all the time. If they do keep a bigger stage, I would really like to see them just change it up and do something different with it rather than the one big screen wall.
I mean, I'm about 50-50 on that too. Like like you said, you like a big stage, but filling that place, like every butt in the seat, cha-ching.
I mean, yeah, it's a lot of sections that don't get sold to accommodate the big stage.
I think they should figure out something like they did with the old SmackDown Fist. Come up with something like that. That was freaking iconic.
Yeah. Or, you know, how they used to do a cool different stage design every single pay-per-view. And then we went years with having the same exact stage at pay-per-views as we did for TV.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad Colton mentioned this because I at this point I've forgotten about it. There has been no news or announcements related to WrestleMania 41 and its location and date. Cody sort of alluded to something or kind of like teased a little bit on the Pat McAfee show on Monday that maybe there was going to be something on Raw that was announced related to Mania 41 and that didn't happen. So I don't know what's going on with this. I would assume by this point they have to have had something locked down already, but there's been nothing on this.
What is it? It's U.S. Bank and where else?
It was either Minneapolis or Vegas. So,
it was T-Mobile.
No, it wouldn't be T-Mobile. T-Mobile's an arena. It would have to be wherever the Raiders are playing. I don't remember the name of that stadium.
Damn it. I know what it is, too.
I've got to look it up.
It's like on the tip of my tongue.
Allegiant Stadium.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah. So, I guess we'll just have to keep being patient for that. No. Colton says, part of me wonders if the hang-up is the Uber-Lyft debacle in Minneapolis. So, for those that don't know, Minneapolis is trying to set a set minimum wage for rideshare drivers, and Uber and Lyft are trying to pull out of Minneapolis because of that. I would guess that this wouldn't be playing a big role in whether or not Mania is going to be there. But it is a good thought. So
just keep saving your money so you can go there next year.
I'm going to try. Or I'll just go into a lot of debt. It's fine. Kelly won't mind.
She won't even know.
Right.
So I don't really know if you guys saw this yet today, but there are a couple departures today, like higher, like behind the scenes departures.
News to me.
Departure of the EVP of talent, Dan Ventrell. He left, and then that was confirmed and tweeted out by Mike Johnson of PW Insider. And then the Senior Vice President of Athlete ID and Development, Trent Wilfinger. And so now those guys are gone. That's a real name. But since those guys are gone, all talent and relations will go now to Triple H and... what was the other one? Talent development and recruiting will now report to Shawn Michaels. So now they got more on top of that because those two left.
Yeah, maybe it's interim, maybe it's not. The only other thing news-wise that I have is there is a prop maker on Instagram that is accusing Zelina Vega of basically scamming her for her WrestleMania gear. So I'll read some of this here. Wasted my time on a pair of cuffs, mech wings, and headset, all hand stone. She gave me the wrong address, which resulted in my wings getting cooked in the hot 100-degree Florida sun, melting it, having to reship it, then finding out the time specified was too late, then having a piece detached due to melted pieces from, again, the package getting damaged from being delivered to her old address that she thought she could pick it up from. It was literally something so fixable, yet she said it was my fault and a skill issue, as well as her assistant saying I'm unprofessional for even saying it's anything but my work and my skills suck. She got all of that commission valued at $2,500 for $900 with a promise of exposure, and I had to refund multiple customers and reject new orders to get this done. Hours upon hours of 3D designing everything, bedazzling everything one by one, custom painting everything, attaching LEDs, crystallizing the transparent parts of the wings. Labor that should have taken months, I did it in 2.5 to 3 weeks, nonstop breaks, and no sleep. And guess what? Only for her to return everything, dispute the total amount without deducting what she kept via PayPal and keeping the chancla, I don't know what that word is, chancla and headset for practically change. All of that for nothing, and to have expensive stuff for Team U price. As a Puerto Rican, you are literally a disgrace and 100% not for your people, let alone small businesses. Holy shit.
Wow.
Now, granted, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, you're talking like a $1,600 potentially being ripped off by Zelina Vega. For a small business, I mean, that is a lot when you're just trying to make some money, man.
It's crazy.
And then Zelina Vega, I just saw another post. Zelina Vega kind of clapped back on Twitter. I'm not going to get into it, but those are accusations that were thrown out against her. And there's so many other things that go on. We don't have to get into that. But what we should get into is Monday Night Raw, at least a little bit of it. Of course, we had the promo between Rock and Cody that kind of started the show. And this segment took, I believe, like 47 or 48 minutes from start to finish. If you're in the comments, tell us what you thought of this segment. I didn't think it was too bad. It was a little drug out. I didn't think anything of it. But around the time that the crowd started to chant, "This is awkward," I was starting to be like, oh, yeah, what the fuck's going on right now? Triple H shows Cody this video package. He gets teary-eyed. They obviously surprised him with it. Cody asks Samantha Irvin to announce him as the champion again, which, by the way, Samantha really, to me, is what made Cody's title win as emotional as it did for me. Not that it wasn't already, but, like, listening to her, like, literally fight through tears, and I assume you guys saw the video of her doing it afterwards. My God. She's so great. National treasure. Rock talks about all the normal things, you know, your dad's my hero, blah, blah, blah. Our dads travel together. Rock says he wants to hold Cody's belt. Cody says, great, only if I can hold yours, which may or may not have been a callback to 2013 when Rock came out, when Cody came out, when Rock kind of introduced the new championship belt. There were chants of "this is awkward." Rock says he's got to leave for a little while. The crowd sings, "na, na, na, na." Rock says whether or not Cody's champion, he's coming back for him. Cody says he's looking forward to it. Rock reminds Cody that he pinned him less than 24 hours before his title win, which is an interesting point, I will say. Rock did pin Cody clean to win a match. Rock says that Cody and Roman's story might be finished, but his story with The Rock has just begun. Rock then says he has something to hand to Cody. He hands him something to Cody and tells him to never break his heart again. Rock says, you don't even have to open your hand to know what this is. And Cody is visibly, like, upset and shaken by whatever it was. So,
let's hear it.
I've been holding out on you guys because I told you I was excited. I'm like, I fucking know what he handed Cody. I know what it is. Now, hold on, hold on.
How many confidence points do you give it out of 15?
18. So everybody in the YouTube comments, I want you to tell us what you think The Rock handed Cody. Not CJ. I did tell CJ already.
What the fuck?
So don't post what I said.
Hold on. Short, you go first.
Also, CJ, I don't know if you're talking about me, but sure, let's do it.
What do you say?
Said if the Mania is in Minneapolis, does that mean party at your house, Travis?
CJ's not invited. Short. Also, we're going to be at Mania. What are you talking about? Of course not.
You might be. I'm not going fucking bankrupt.
Just use your credit card like you always do. That's how you bought this thing.
Shut up.
All right. Anyways, Shorts, guesses for what rock-handed Cody? Go.
I don't know. Maybe a ring. Hall of Fame ring. I don't know. Just a ring.
Fucker.
What?
Didn't I say that in a text yesterday?
Because it's not going to be... some people were thinking it was the watch that he had on, or that Cody may have given him. His hand was like this. It was like pretty clenched. So there's no way that
I mean, it could have been like folded up.
I mean, that wasn't part of a storyline either, though.
I know what it is.
All right. What do you think, George?
Tickets to his next new movie.
Moana 2?
Yep.
The Tooth Fairy 3.
There's a 2?
Colton says, come to my house. I'm 15 minutes away from US Bank. Party at Colton's house. Let's go. Woo! Well, thanks, Colton.
You signed up for some hell of a day.
All right, what is it?
You ready for this? What happened?
Can you tell us?
What? Hold on. What was like big news, like actual news, either Thursday or Friday night with Cody?
Lighter.
It's a lighter.
What was that?
You know, I thought about that, but I didn't.
Cody's bus starting on fire.
I mean,
Cody was so
coincidence. There's no fucking way. That's arson.
Cody was so he was so shaken up and upset. Like, I don't think a watch is going to do that. I don't think a ring is going to do that. It's that realization that holy shit, Rock tried to kill me by lighting my bus on fire in the middle of the night.
So, do you think he'll ever like say it?
Well, yeah, they're
going to... Friday?
I hope Friday. No,
they're going to let it stew.
Exactly. I think they're going to let it stew, and they're not going to call it back until Rock comes back, and there's some sort of... They start picking things back up with Rock.
That's what's going to create this. George, what if it's like you said, Cody doesn't have that long of a reign?
I mean... I give until SummerSlam.
I think the lighter makes sense. Just seeing how upset Cody was by it, that's the only thing to me that really makes sense. And, I mean, man, you can plug that in a storyline so easily. And it's
even if it was real, even if that – who knows if that was exactly real. I don't know if he just said it and said
– Colton says, but why would Rock say don't break my heart again? Because Cody took his main event away from him. And Rock is pissed off about it still.
So he tried to light him?
Yeah. He lit his bus on fire. I mean, it makes sense to me. And I like it. I think that works with the story. And I think it's just going to add a lot more heat to it when they eventually meet back up again. And I like if we don't find out what that item was, even if it's not a lighter, I like that we're not potentially going to learn what that is until later.
I hate it. I hate surprises.
We need to retrain ourselves as wrestling fans to be more patient.
With Triple H in his era.
Exactly. So that's my theory behind it.
It's a good theory. You guys heard it here first. You all six people in here.
Correct. That's what I got for that. Cole announced that there was over 20,000 fans, the 17th straight TV sellout. I believe Triple H said that is now their highest grossing TV event, even other than Raw and SmackDown the week before. We got an announcement of the draft returning. It starts on April 26th on SmackDown and then continues on the following Raw. I'm excited to have another draft. Because I think we kind of need a shakeup. A lot of people have faced a lot of people on their current rosters.
They didn't do a draft last year, did they?
I don't believe so. I think it's been a couple of years since we've had an actual draft.
Where do we want the main champions, all the champions? Like, do we want to switch?
I don't really care who is where, just as long as there's good feuds for them on whatever roster they're going to be on. It doesn't matter to me which title is on which show.
I think the WWE title is going to go to Raw, so Cody's going to stay on Raw.
That's what I'm thinking.
And then Damian Priest and the Judgment Day are all going to SmackDown. It's going to happen.
I like that.
Cody, they're just going to get more eyes on Monday Night Raw. Plus, it takes them. He will probably take them into the Netflix era.
That's another good consideration here too. So it is the Raw after Mania. So there were a couple surprises. Nothing like super crazy, but well, we didn't get super crazy. The wrestler, Shinsuke Nakamura, and then a surprise of Ilya Dragunov, and Ilya won.
Ooh. Yeah, let's go back up to Colton. Wouldn't it be time to wrestle? Or wait, what?
Wouldn't be the first time a wrestler tried to commit homicide. Austin nearly crushed Triple H with a forklift.
Holy crap.
I mean, a man that we shall not name, his limo blew up.
Yeah, and then he was on TV less than a week later.
I know.
Crying about Chris Benoit dying. tell me when I'm telling lies.
Normally it's me, but okay.
Tell me when I'm telling lies. I'm not making light of a bad situation, George. My God. Then we got a six-person tag team match with the Judgment Day facing Awesome Truth and not Little Jimmy, but John Cena. Those three picked up the win. That was a cool surprise.
I think we all knew that he was talking about John Cena, though.
Well, obviously, everybody knew that.
Someone that you can't see.
Rhea Ripley's walking backstage, and all of a sudden, a fucking chair gets thrown into frame and nails Rhea.
That was brutal.
That was brutal. And
oh my gosh,
Liv is very much on the Liv Morgan revenge tour still, and she beat the shit out of Rhea backstage. And then they did another cool thing with the camera. The camera that was backstage watching this turned off of them. Dom kind of pushed it away. And then they just walked back out to ringside where there was something else happening.
So cool.
Yeah. The camera walked out and there's Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae out in the ring finishing their entrance. And then we get Roxanne Perez, another surprise. We're getting Roxanne Perez versus Indy Hartwell. Candice LeRae from the outside trips Roxanne Perez, and Indy starts fighting with her. What are you doing? Like, this is cheating, blah, blah, blah. Perez picks up the win off the distraction. I like where this is going. I want them to do more with it, and I want them to pick this up at this point, because I'm very interested in this whole thing with Candice, and this needs a little bit more steam. We're getting a little traction, but I'm more intrigued by this than I thought I would have been.
Tilly says, I'm still waiting to know what was in the envelope Baby Doll handed Dusty.
I'm unfamiliar with what he's referring to.
I wonder. Yeah, I don't know.
Tilly, fill us in. We're not the greatest with like older wrestling things, if that's what you're referring to.
That's why we're unprofessional.
We are unprofessional wrestling. Get me up to speed on that, if you wouldn't mind. Hogan did run over Rock with a semi.
Mommy's also going to go to Judgment Day, so Mommy's going over to SmackDown.
I would assume so. I would assume Judgment Day stays together for quite a while yet. We got a vignette that Sheamus is returning. This doesn't get me too excited, to be honest.
Nope.
I just, his character is just there. Like, it doesn't do anything for me. Not that he isn't good on the microphone or in the ring or anything. Sami Zayn's out. He's talking about his win, talking about the people that have helped him. He's about to more or less give Gable his flowers, and Vinci and Ludwig come out, start talking trash, saying they're going to make everything right. And they're about to attack Sami, and then Gable comes out. And then we get Sami and Gable versus Imperium. Sami and Gable win. This was a great match. Adam Pearson, Ava Rain, and Nick Aldis are backstage all talking about the draft. Ava Rain, The Rock's daughter in real life, of course, is the NXT general manager. Chelsea Green comes in complaining to Adam Pearce that she was left off of WrestleMania, and then Adam tells her that she can have a match tonight, and Nick Aldis will provide an opponent for her. This was very clearly going to be Jade Cargill, because why else would it be Nick Aldis giving the opponent to her? So then we got Chelsea Green versus Jade Cargill, and this is a very easy squash victory for Jade Cargill. I'm watching you do this.
Oh, God, what do you say?
It's... Are you going to finish typing it, or are you just going to leave it like that?
No, I'll get it.
You better say it.
Keep going.
So he's type. So for anybody, so we have our format written out in like a Google Doc, basically that we look at. George is old; he doesn't really know how to use a computer. So
I just don't bring mine.
So I have to print one out for him. But me and Schwartz are looking at it in a Google Doc, and it can be edited. And he always tries to type wild shit as I'm like reading through things to try to get me to say it. This had something to do with Ricochet taking out his dick, and. Don't spit beer on my new floors. Do you hear me? You just did. Oh my God. I hate you. I swallowed it. You. Mommy. Anyway. Damn indeed.
Shit.
You good?
Yep.
All right. Anyways. The bell returns. Thanks to everybody that voted for the bell to stay on the show on Sunday show. After the Chelsea Green and Jade Cargill encounter, we had Sammy and Gable backstage talking. Sammy tells Gable that he deserves a chance for the Intercontinental title and that it would be an honor to defend it against Gable next week. In Montreal. I got a prediction for this. A
spoiler?
No.
Hot take?
Yeah.
Hot take.
I don't think it's that hot of a take. I think Gable's going to turn on Sammy in Sammy's hometown. I think Gable's potentially going to lose clean, and then he's going to lose his shit and turn on Sammy and then just get massive heat from the Montreal crowd.
I like it.
I also predict that we're going to get a Sami Zayn promo in French.
I don't know about full French, but it's almost guaranteed that he's going to say some.
He's going to say some French things. I mean, Montreal is a primarily French-speaking city.
Yep.
So that's exciting. That's something to look forward to. And then we get the Fatal 4-Way match. Winner becomes the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Champion and will face off against our new champion, Damian Priest. This match is Drew McIntyre versus Jey Uso versus Bronson Reed versus Ricochet, who did not, in fact, have his dick out. Drew, stop.
Never, man, you don't know that.
Stop, like, taking swigs of beer when I'm saying things.
Stop saying it.
What do you want me to do?
Hold off.
Hold off. What do you mean, hold off? I can't interrupt my show and do our show. I'm sorry.
My show?
No. No. I'm sorry. I was very heated. Fine. I was very heated. I'm very in the moment.
We'll let you do your by yourself.
I only said that because I was the one talking at the time.
Take my title back.
If mine would ever show up.
That sucks.
I want to take one of the crackhead pictures.
That's fine.
I'm just kidding.
I'm keeping Mr. Sacco, though.
You can keep your birthday gift.
Yeah.
CJ, are you sure it wasn't out, or are you just ignoring it?
What?
For Ricochet's dick.
So, moving on from that. So, Drew comes out. He starts to cut a promo. And, of course, he's angry that he was screwed the night before. He was interrupted by Jey Uso's entrance music. Well, before that, he says what happened to him, as well as the Money in the Bank cash in, is total BS. Then he goes off on CM Punk, saying that Punk caused what happened, and he knows that Punk will go into hiding. But alas, we know pretty soon that's not true. So anyways, Jey Uso makes his entrance. A lot of things happened in the match. It was a fun match. The wildest thing that happened in this match was Ricochet hitting a 450 from the top rope to the announce table. I don't think that's ever been done before. That was pretty wild.
There's two tables, right?
There were.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure that I was watching the same thing.
But just going over, I guess, more.
I was like half asleep.
Looking at the comments here.
But it is about that time for KO and Sammy to to turn on each other.
Yeah, if they weren't on separate brands. But, God, it would be really cool to have a championship match with them in Montreal. They're both from Montreal. So, Tilly, there is no story behind Ricochet's dick. It was just something that Schwartz typed into the format to try to get me to say, because he likes to type things into the format as I'm reading it to try to get me to say something really stupid.
Also, I love that. I love the way that Tilly wrote Ricochet. Rick O'Shea.
Yeah, he's an Irish now. Didn't you know that? CJ. CJ says the Chelsea Green segment match was dumb. I mean, you know, they got the pop for having Jade there, and that's fine with me, I guess. He says, oh, there's the bell. Ding, go bell. Okay.
You're way late.
I was looking at the format, trying not to read about unmentionables. Very good, George.
Every fucking time. That's
Ricochet's dick.
Samantha Irvin.
Wait.
You got to be quicker than that.
Well,
so anyways, yeah, this match happens. Ricochet does his cool-ass 450 to the announce table, and then you got Drew McIntyre and Jey Uso in the ring. McIntyre's doing his count for the Claymore, and it looks like he is setting up to finish Jey off and get this pin, become the number one contender. But wait! As he's about to leave the corner to drop the Claymore on Jey, he can't move. You know why? Because who's there holding his foot and preventing him from running but CM Punk? Huge response from the crowd once the camera showed him. And Drew immediately turned around and started yelling at Punk. Punk's like, two times, I got you. And then Jey finishes off Drew. Jey becomes the number one contender, gets the 1-2-3. He's the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship. What do we think about Jey being the number one contender?
He's 0-4 against in championship matches.
Oh.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Like world title matches, we're saying?
Three against Roman and one against Seth.
Was there three against Roman?
There was the Hell in a Cell, I Quit.
Was Mania one of them?
No.
No, Mania wasn't one.
Can't remember the other one, but the other one was against Seth.
It was three of them.
Yep.
But, I mean, if you look at it, it's Drew, Jey, Bronson, and Ricochet. Drew, if it wasn't going to be Drew, because you're setting up something with Punk, I don't think Bronson, it's not going to go heel and heel. And it would either be between Jey and Ricochet, and I just don't know why they just do not give Ricochet enough credit.
Because he can't talk.
They've been giving him a push the last like month or so.
Yeah, they'll put him in good matches, high-profile matches with good people, but his promo isn't there.
He's going to be stuck in that mid-card.
I think he needs a total character change, and he needs to
go heel.
Only if he can do it well. I mean,
set him up with AJ Styles. They almost have like the same sort of moveset and kind of talking.
Tilly says, I like the CM Punk McIntyre thing. I don't think they need a belt. I mean, I would have liked it with the belt, to be honest, but they definitely don't need it. Like, you know, Drew's pissed at Punk and Punk's trolling Drew, because Drew just talked shit about him this whole time that he's been gone. So Drew's getting what he wants out of this, but, you know, it bit him in the ass. No, it doesn't need the title. I do wish it had it, but I think at some point they'll get back to it. I do think Drew will get that title back within the year.
Depends on if Drew's on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, very interested to see where the draft goes, and you bet your sweet ass after the draft takes place, we're going to be covering it right here in Unprofessional Wrestling.
Maybe live.
On a Monday?
No.
Yeah, I'll come there.
No, you won't.
What are you going to
do? On a Monday?
Drive back home again?
Maybe. What if you guys just come here?
I got softball on Mondays.
Grow up.
Don't you have like volleyball or something?
I do.
Oh, you have volleyball. You have softball.
Okay. I'll probably have volleyball 2 days a week.
You got Monster Jam 6 out of 7 days. You got fucking rehab 6 out of 7 days.
What?
For his broken femur.
That's right. He has a stupid femur.
That was like 10 years ago.
People don't forget.
That sounds fair. I've been on plenty of things where people have had broken femurs, and that's just awful.
It sucks.
Tilly says, was Saturday the first time that Miz won a title as a face? I can't believe that'd be the first time, but I think it's an interesting question. I don't know the answer offhand, but I would be surprised if it was the first time personally. Obviously, neither of you two seem to know off the top of your head either, so.
No.
Nope.
All right.
He's always been a heel to me.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Goodness gracious.
One thing to point out in that fucking six-pack match, that fucking ladder, man, where the referee was trying to get Damian's attention.
Yeah, when it was breaking at the bottom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Was absolutely wild.
Yeah. I didn't post the video yet. Schwartz did do a shoey on Saturday for having the least amount of points. It was gross.
Also,
I don't know. That shoe looked brand new, though. I'm not convinced that it was a shoe you use often.
Pretty sure.
Oh, it is.
I should have made you use my shoe.
And I'm not going to lie. I'll let everybody know. My feet are not the greatest.
Oh, you got gout or something? What's the deal?
No. My feet look great. My feet look pretty. It's just...
What's wrong with them?
I get sweaty feet really fast and really easy. You were waiting to do that.
I was.
George did it.
But yeah. Did not taste very good.
I'll do one with you next time.
Yeah. But I thought we decided that the red belt was for just us three.
I don't think it was definitive.
Because I want everybody to know that I beat you two.
I thought we were adding the two nights together.
Oh, remember when I asked you, I said, hey, do you want to add them or do them separately?
Pretty sure we never came to a full agreement.
I definitely said add them. I 100%.
Then you and me tied. You and me tied.
Yeah, but I didn't lose.
I didn't lose either.
I beat your guys' ass.
You fucking lost, dude.
On Sunday?
So we are co-owners.
No, it's not how that works. That's not how that works.
I will Indian wrestle you right now.
Well, we've never had a tie for the win. We've never had a tie for the win happen before, so we need to establish
a tiebreaker.
We'll never
see that belt again. So, either one of them.
Trav, you should just get a replica since you're never going to win this one again.
Yeah, dude.
How can we convince you to buy a title?
Let's go on eBay.
Find after this house closes.
Deal.
An old John Cena spinner belt.
I don't know.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool, though.
I wouldn't mind one.
I didn't love how they looked, but I mean that title's around for so long. How do you not want
it? The U.S. title?
No, the Cena title.
Well, they're both Cena titles. There's a U.S. and
oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
The U.S. was the first one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, someone's trying to sell it over here for like $250. I don't even know if it's real.
Oh, it's definitely not like an actual replica then.
Probably from a crackhead.
Maybe a commemorative, which are made of plastic, and I wouldn't get one of those.
Oh, that's true.
See what happens around your birthday, I guess.
Yeah, if you're a good little noodle, maybe Chrissy will get you one.
She'll even strap it on for you.
Oh my.
Yeah, okay, sure, maybe.
Is he into pegging?
I'll take it.
I think so.
Oh my god.
Talking about Ricochet's dick.
I'm not gonna say anything.
Is there anything else that we want to talk about tonight?
Who do we want Cody's first opponent to be?
Oh man, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know that he's gonna start too much with anybody until after the draft is over. I can't think.
He's on the cover of WrestleMania Backlash, like the pay per view.
Yeah, he is.
Like,
I'm literally looking at it right now.
That's a good point.
With the title,
it's
over
a great looking poster too. By the way,
well, what's the caption on there? Shorts.
Nightmares do come true.
There it is.
Who could I realistically see him face at Backlash? Oh.
Jimmy or Solo? Maybe just kind of takes out each member of the Bloodline. Maybe even both of them.
I don't know. It doesn't feel big enough. I don't know. I'm torn on this one. Anybody in the YouTube land have any ideas of who they'd like to see or who realistically you could see Cody face at Backlash? Let us know. I've got honestly I can't think of anybody that's not a babyface, or I'm guessing he's just going to show up on each brand until the draft happens. I got nothing on this one.
After you're done,
go.
First of all, Braun Breaker,
Corbin.
Baron Corbin lost the titles, so Braun Breaker is now officially brought up.
Right.
He has no ties to NXT. So he will be up full time. And then, geez. The tag team champions are not going to be in Detroit tomorrow. They tweeted out it looked drunk. They looked drunk. And they tweeted out saying that they're not coming to Detroit, and they're in an airport.
But they wanted to fight the whole SmackDown locker room.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw that tweet. That was hilarious.
I sent
that
it to
was
you.
Great.
Tilly says Finn Balor, which I don't hate that idea, but it's such a short time to build it at this point, because isn't it like a little over 2 weeks away? Well, Backlash.
Do we want it to be on SmackDown or a Raw person? Because Finn is on Raw.
It doesn't. Honestly, right now, I don't think it matters. Yeah. Cody's going to show up on either, potentially, until the draft happens, I think. So I'm not too worried about which particular brand is that we're talking about.
I'm going to say AJ Styles.
I'd be behind that if AJ Styles beat LA Knight at Mania, but he lost.
Unless LA Knight and AJ are just going to keep feuding.
That's what I
could see that happening too.
I see that happening more so. I think that'd be a good match to have for Payback.
I'm going to say Jimmy or Solo.
It's a good one.
I think Gunther would be a good one, but I think if you do something with Gunther in a world title, you do it at Clash of the Castle and not in France.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah, that makes sense. Is that after Backlash?
Yeah. I don't know if it's right after Backlash. I'm not sure.
No, I think it's middle of the month. So I don't think they'll. Yeah, I don't think they'll do back to back.
Let me look it up. Clash at the Castle is.
Normally aren't. Isn't Backlash just normally like the rematches?
Clash at the Castle is in Glasgow on June 15th. So it is the pay per view after. No, it's not after Backlash. Well, in any case, it's in June. It's in 2 months.
Regardless.
Right. Well, anything else, gentlemen?
Nope.
We can get everybody's hair here. Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, We thank you, as always, for checking out Unprofessional Wrestling. Don't forget to follow us here at the tag that you see on the screen for X. We are also on Facebook. Search Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Also search Unprofessional Wrestling there. Don't forget to leave us a rating, a review, a like, a follow, a subscription, whatever it is on whatever platform you listen to. We are on a couple other platforms as well, but those are definitely the main ones that people use for us. Outside of that, one announcement that I want to make. We have a Discord channel that we are taking over from the podcast, the Going Broadway podcast, that no longer does shows. That's where we bought all this podcast equipment from, was from them. They were very gracious in selling it to us so that we could start a wrestling show. Their equipment carries on doing a wrestling show. One of the people that did that show, Cole, he reached out to me yesterday asking if we wanted to take over the Discord channel. And we agree that that is something that we are going to do. So there is a link to the Discord channel in the video description here on YouTube. So check that out. Join that Discord. It hasn't been rebranded yet. It's still going to show Going Broadway Podcast, but we have administrative rights in there, and we are going to be rebranding things as time goes on. So if you are a part of that community, we thank you for checking us out tonight, and we hope that you'll stick around and give us ideas for what you'd like to see in that Discord server. Otherwise, that's an exciting thing. So we'll start taking that on as well. I think that covers it.
That's about it.
Yeah.
All right. Everything. Cool. Love it. We're coming off the high that was WrestleMania. And I didn't mean to do that. Just turn the music back on. Just makes for a better outro. Whoopsie doodles.
Right.
Well, with that, we'll give you the old salute. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching Unprofessional Wrestling or listening. Don't forget, if you're listening to us, subscribe on YouTube, like this video, comment on this video. We really appreciate it. We'll catch you next week right here on Unprofessional Wrestling. Peace out.